Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Shanna Martin, host of the Tech Tools for Teachers podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hi, friend. Welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Today's episode is about 5 steps to being a conference presenter. Now, this is something I've never talked about before, but I have been asked about before because if you've been in my world for any amount of time, or if you're brand new here, I have been presenting at both in-person and virtual conferences for the last 7 years. So throughout my experience, I have figured out the steps it takes in order to A, find the conferences, to prepare for the B, prepare for the conferences, and then see to actually do the presenting part. So I wanted to just share some 5 quick tips and steps to being a conference presenter. You may not ever be interested in presenting, but maybe you've kind of had it on your heart to present at one or more conferences and you're just not really quite sure where to start or even what you would present about and all those things. So I wanted to do an episode around this. So first step is to find the actual conferences. So what I mean by this is I have a Google Doc and I start with the conferences around me. I look in my local area. I look in my state of Arkansas. I look in Oklahoma. I look in Missouri. So I look at surrounding states near me. So that would be the state music conferences. I also look at virtual opportunities because, as we know, with a virtual opportunity, you will not need to travel there. So I look for virtual conferences, music education wise, but maybe even just in the education world. And I started creating an ongoing Google Doc. Maybe you've heard me talk about my love for Google over and over, but Google Doc that, first of all, lists the conferences. I have a section for in-person and then a section for virtual. And I list these conferences. And then what I do is I broke it down by month. So starting with January, going through December. And then in January, I will say this conference submission due by this date in under the January category, if it's a conference that I need to have my submission, my presentation submitted by a date in January, it falls under that month category. Also under January, I will say if there's a particular conference that is that date as well. I mean, in that month as well, excuse me. So either I want to present at it or maybe it's one I want to go to. So I, on a continual basis, every single month will check that document and to see, okay, I put here this submission window closes at this date under this month, and then I will go to that website and see what I need to do to submit. I may change my mind. I have also submitted to conferences and got accepted and then realized after the fact I really couldn't make it work. So the first step, though, is to find the dates of the conferences, know both submission dates and the actual conference dates you might want to present at and why you might want to present at them. And then you narrow it down and start the actual submission process. So let's go into number 2, which is the think about what you might like to share about and then actually submit a proposal. So this part is kind of tricky for me because there are so much, and just like you listening, that you could present about. But for me, it's about kind of knowing who I will be speaking in front of. So for example, I am presenting a music tech conference virtually this summer, and obviously I'm going to be speaking about music tech related things. There's another conference I was asked to present at where they wanted me to talk about my online business for entrepreneurs or people who maybe want to start a teacher business. When it comes to elementary music teachers, I have been asked to teach or to present about a lot of various ideas when it comes to the actual elementary music teachers, right? So this might be lesson planning. I have been asked before to talk about organization. I have been asked to present about my scope and sequence curriculum map and lesson planning ideas. I've been asked to present about assessment. So sometimes you might be asked to present about a certain idea. Maybe someone has heard you on a podcast or has met you at a conference or just knows you in person and they know you have a knack for that certain thing. Or maybe it's something you just love sharing about. And maybe you've never done a formal presentation about it, but you have done something where you have, like I said, talked to a friend in person, or you have been at, let's say, a training for your district, the music teachers in your district, and you have talked about your love for doing this certain lesson or whatever. Maybe it's just something on your heart you want to share. So think about conferences you've been to and the different sessions you've sat in. I'm thinking about ones I've sat in, and I have seen things from actual one-off lessons. There's songs that I have heard presenters talk about how to present those to your students. I have seen things, like I said, about music technology related. I have seen sessions where it's aimed at elementary or secondary or general music teachers or choir, band. I have seen SEL. I mean, and so on and so forth. So one of the things I like to do as well is I will look at past conferences to see ideas, not to steal ideas, but just to see the variety of topic ideas to see, oh, okay, they have had something on this before, but could I put a different spin on it? So it doesn't seem like it's the same idea as someone else. So step two, to wrap it up, is think about what you might want to share about and then submit a proposal. And it is actually okay to submit more than one proposal. You may have more than one proposal accepted. You may have one of your proposals you have submitted if you submit more than one accepted. So start submitting, think about what you want to talk about, and then submit a proposal around it. Step three is after your proposal is accepted, because you're amazing and it will be, then what I want you to do is, this is the step where you begin outlining your talking points and you begin creating slide decks. Now, I sometimes already have this sort of developed because when I'm submitting to a conference, and by the way, they're all going to ask you for different things. Some want you to fill out a Google sheet. Some want you to fill out just a quick synopsis of what you might be talking about. Some just want the title. And so it depends on how thorough and in-depth the actual submission process is with how much outlining you've already done ahead of time. So I know, though, if it's something I have, you know, presented about before, I've maybe done workshops with you guys, my audience, I maybe already have a kind of outline ready to go that I may just want to adjust and adapt to fit the needs of that conference presentation. But maybe it's something I'm doing brand new. I know the proposal. I know the actual topic. Maybe I have my learning objectives and outcomes outlined. And then from there, I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, how am I going to make this happen? And how am I going to present this? What is the time frame I have to present at this conference? I know I already talked to you about a conference I'm doing this summer. They do these like pop 10, where it's like 10 minutes each on a panel. I have done panel presentations where we all get different chances to talk. I have done a Q&A format before where it is literally just me answering questions. I have done where I'm a talking head on a screen. I've done where I'm sharing my slide deck virtually. I've done where I'm sharing slide decks in person. 30 minutes, an hour. It's been across the board a whole lot of different things and situations. So finding out the time will determine how long your presentation will be. I could go on and on about like creating slide decks because we all are different. But when it comes to slides, when I'm presenting virtually, I put less on the actual slides because I have like my notes pulled up on maybe a Google Doc that I'm looking at. If you create in Canva, you know, you can do presenter mode and you can have a different screen. If you have two screens, then you can have one that is your notes and the other one is what your audience is seeing. If you're in person, I like to put more on my slides because I'm not reading from my notes most of the time. I'm reading from the screen. So I will put more bullet points on the screen so I keep track of where I'm going and what I'm doing. That's just a general rule there that I like to do. You do not have to be like me, but that's something that's worked really well for me. So once you kind of have your outline, I would outline it first, and then you turn it into slide decks. And then go back and edit it and look at it, move slides around until it makes sense to what you're wanting to do. You can take some slides out. You might decide you want to add something else in. Then definitely practice it so you can time yourself and you can see how long is this, or do I need to shorten it or lengthen it? And always remember to leave time towards the end for questions and answers. So if it's a 30-minute session, general rule of thumb is 25 minutes to present and then leave 5 minutes for questions and answers. It's hard to predict that. There has been times where I've had way more questions to answer than I had time for. And there's sometimes where one question rolls in and then you're sitting there just like staring at the screen or at your in-person audience. So for questions and answers, have some questions prepared ahead of time of commonly asked questions that you know you've been asked before or that you think would be good to answer around this topic. So if you don't have a lot of questions coming in, have some prepared ahead of time that you're like, hey, so before we go and you don't see any questions or nobody's hands raised, you're like, I want to answer some questions that have come in before to wrap up. That way, bam, you don't have this awkward 5 minutes of silence and you have something else to say at the end. Number four is if you're presenting virtually, let's talk about how you can prepare. So make sure your microphone's working. I would suggest I use a Blue Snowball mic, but there's a lot of other amazing ones out there. Have a working microphone. I just think it's great. I think also having some headphones to use where you can definitely have the world shut out. Like right now, I didn't have mine plugged in and I just did because my boys got home from school and you probably heard my door slam. So that is real life, right? Here we are. But anyways, have headphones plugged in and maybe you just want to have earbuds, or if you're in a quiet space, you may not need that. But I know for myself, I love having the world around me muted so I can just focus on what I'm doing. I already talked about having two screens, two monitors. I think it is essential, unless you're one of those people that just does well with one monitor. I'm not. When I'm presenting virtually, I like to have, let's say we're using Zoom. I like to have on one screen Zoom and all I need to see is my face. And then on the same screen where I have Zoom, I have my bullet points or from Canva, my notes. And then on the other screen is where I have what my audience is seeing. So the actual slide decks themselves. So those are usually the extent of it. I would definitely test your audio and test your vocals ahead of time or your mic ahead of time to make sure that everything is kind of working accurately on that end. If you're presenting in person, things you will need is also your slides, right? A USB drive a lot of times, or I've presented at an in-person conference where they had me send them my slide deck ahead of time and then they uploaded it for me. You might want to have a clicker with you so you can click easily between the slides, or definitely on your laptop, have that. And so maybe you're wanting to stand just behind the laptop and click through your slide deck that way. If you're presenting in person, most of the time they should be good about asking you what you need in order to present. But if not, be good about saying, hey, for my session, I need these instruments or I need this equipment, whatever it might be. So make sure you're communicating that with them and you're clear about what expectations are for them. I mean, from them to you and what your expectations are from you to them. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know. But those are some general things to keep in mind when you're presenting in person or virtually. And number five is to go in with confidence and have fun. Nobody wants to sit in a session with someone in person or virtually when you are a robot and when you're not prepared and you're kind of just fumbling through the slides and you're like, what was my next talking point? I've sat in sessions like that. They're miserable and it's a long, even if 30 minutes, it's long. It feels like you're sitting there forever. So how you go in with confidence is, we've talked about this already, is to go in prepared. Make sure you are definitely ready to go as much as you can be. There's always going to be things that come up. There will be tech issues. There's just going to be things go wrong. There always are. So go in as prepared as you can. So when the things come up, you're not as thrown off. Go in with confidence. Know that you know your stuff. When you go in with confidence and you know, I know this, I chose to present about this topic for a reason, And then, like I said, have fun with it. Your participants, your audience wants to have fun right along with you. So just have fun with them. Be confident and know that the more you do it, the more you're presenting at different in-person or virtual conferences, the better it's going to get. And the more confidence will grow and the more excited you're going to get to do it. So I just wanted to share this 5 steps to being a conference presenter because I've been asked this question. So there's obviously a lot more that goes into it, especially if you're presenting in person. You also have to factor in that where are you staying and make arrangements for that. Are you flying in? Are you driving? Do you need to rent a car? Is food provided? And all those things as well. There's a lot more that factors into that, of course. So definitely keeping that in mind. I forgot to mention that when I was talking about presenting in person. If you have any questions as usual, just let me know. I would love to answer any questions you have around being a presenter. And it's something I'm super passionate about. And so I definitely have experience not only with presenting at conference, but I outline these podcast episodes every single week as well. So I know what it's like to get prepared and to be nervous and all those things that go into it. And I would love to offer you any support I can. Have an amazing week. And I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.